Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
Thank God that I can have an opportunity today to share with you together with God's words. Let us pray.
Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. Our dear Father, we come as your child to rely on you. Lord, we pray that you use the time, this good opportunity, for us to hear you, to hear your word, so that we can see your Son, we can know you better, and know your will on us better. So we commit our time to you. May you draw our hearts to you and draw our attention to you. May your glory attract us so that we can come and pursue and follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I speak and share, I would like to have a request. My request is that please pray for me, and also please pray for yourself, so that as we share and read God's words, the Holy Spirit can really use the word to speak to us. So this time can be a beneficial time for the speakers and listener, and also pray for the gathering. For those people you care, so that they can hear what the Lord wants them to hear. Before I start, I would like you to look at the picture. Okay, when you look at this picture, what do you think of? What do you see? Forget about the watermark. Because in short. The time is too short. I don't know how to pay for the copyright or things like that. So I just use this sample, this picture. So what do you see? Sorry? Father and son. What do you see? Maybe different people see different thing. Sorry? A child learning to walk. What else? What do you see?
They are holding hands.
Yeah. What do you see? What else? What else can you see? Sorry?
Father's eyes on the children.
On the child. The father's care for the child. We don't know what this picture is, actually. Maybe a child with an adult friend, uncle and nephew, uncle and niece, a teacher and a young student, or a stranger and a child. But I think the most popular association is there's a child with his or her father. But what do you see yourself in the picture? Do you see you and your son or your daughter? Or you see you and your father? Even when you are adult now, you might think back when you're in the younger days, you and your father. Or you see yourself in the picture, you are holding your father's hand, following him walking. Or your father is holding your hand, taking you going somewhere, or just having a walk, wandering around. Or you are holding your daughter's hand, taking her somewhere, or just having a walk after a very busy and hardworking day in the late afternoon, in a big park. What do you see from this picture? This morning, we are going to continue to look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. Thank you. Yeah. Where our Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Maybe what you saw yourself in the previous picture can help you to engage and think about how the scripture we are going to look at relates to you and how you can respond to it. Let's read together Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. We read it together. This is the ESV version.
Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, or we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation."
Last time we looked at how we should pray as a child to the Father. We can be real and pray without pretense. Not praying to other people to hear, but to God as a child to the Father. We can pray in our helplessness as a child to the Father, dependent on the Father. We can pray anything, anytime, in anywhere as a child to the Father. Now this morning I would like to look at the second part of the disciples' prayer. That is, hallowed be your name. The word hallow means make holy. Hallowed be your name means be your name made holy. May your name be honored as holy. The theme for today's message is hallowed be God's name, or may God's names be hallowed as holy. I'm going to speak on three main points for this theme. The first one, God is holy. Second one, God calls you to share his holiness. Number three, response to his call by praying, hallowed be your name. Let us look at the first main point. God is holy. Firstly, what is holiness? This word in the New Testament Greek and or Old Testament Hebrews means separateness, apartness, otherness, differentness, uniqueness. This word in the Bible is originally only to describe God. No one can share this name, this word, only God. Holiness refers to God's total purity and total separateness as the creator from all in the creation. God's separateness refers to he's completely different from others, unique from others. God's holy purity refers to his moral perfection. God's holiness defines morality. God is holy. It means that he is the only one and true God. There's no other God. Apart from him, we cannot have any God in our hearts, whether they are physical or something not physical in our heart. We cannot have any God apart from the true living God. God is holy. It means that he is completely different from all other idols and all things in the universe. We must not to be confused with God and all other things in the world. God is holy. It means that he is morally perfect. His goodness is holy good. His righteousness is holy righteousness. His love is holy love. His power is holy power. His justice is holy justice. The Bible not only describes God being holy. Holy is actually the only description for God's attributes or quality, which is stated in three times in succession in the whole Bible. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, the angelic beings, seraphim, call to one another in the Bible, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. God's glory is holy glory. Actually, when God's holiness show forth, then we see His glory. God's glory is holy glory. And God's glory only belongs to God. Actually, glory only belongs to God. God said in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. If anyone says this, I'm not sure among us who is the youngest one. Who is the youngest one? Apart from the little lovely boy. Who is the youngest? Okay, doesn't matter. For example, Jessica, one of the youngest one. Or Lyndon. Okay. For example, if Jessica says, I am the Jessica, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. Or Lyndon said, no, I am the Lyndon. That is my name. My glory I give to no other. If they say this, I'll be found this kind of saying to be very, forgive me to say so, disgusting. And I will be very sad for them and very fearful for them because they become a very proud person, which is very pitiful and dangerous for them, and the consequence is terrible. The Bible says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. But when God Himself said this, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, it is not pride. It is what it should be. We nod our heads, saying amen, and give Him glory, not us, not giving glory to us. It is right for God. It is right, glory only given to God because He is worthy. The same saying from God's mouth or man's mouth gives us total different responses. Why? Because God is God, man is man. It is the right thing for glory given to God. Man is not God. And it is a wrong and unrighteous thing for glory given to man, for man's sake only. No glory should be given to man unless the glory is related to God, pointing to God. This is the holy separateness of God from all others. Glory only belongs to God. Not only that, God is passionate for His own glory. In Isaiah chapter 48, 9-11, God said to Israelite His people, for my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. It is right and good for God to be passionate for His glory, because it is right and good for glory given to God. However, if someone says the same words, we will regard this person to be very selfish and proud, calling him or her a narcissist. in today's medical term. It is called narcissistic personality disorder. If you come across this person, probably you don't want to be friends with him or her. At least I don't. It is wrong for a person to be selfish and proud, only passionate to gain glory for himself without acknowledging God. Because glory belongs not to man, but to God. Therefore, in Psalm 115, chapter 1, the psalmist said, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." Indeed, glory should be to the name of God, but not us. It is so for the sake of his steadfast love to refine his people, and for the sake of his faithfulness towards his people. Holy, holy, holy. God is the absolutely holiest. He is categorically set apart from anything else. He is above all. Now let us move on to look at the second main point. God calls you to share his holiness. Yes, we have looked at the first main point, God is holy. We saw that holiness only belongs to God, not man. Glory only belongs to God, not man. Therefore, on one hand, we are not holy because we are not God. We can never share his holiness of separateness or holiness of otherness of his uniqueness. Only he is God. There is categorically difference between God and all things in the universe, including us, the very wonderfully and preciously created human beings. But after all, God is God, man is man. But on the other hand, God does want to share his holiness with man. He desires to share his glory, his holy righteousness, his holy goodness, holy purity, holy character, even holy glory with man. Why? Because God wants to share his holy loves with man. He loves man with his holy love, everlasting love, sacrificial love, unfailing love. This is why God created man. Even the first Adam failed. God called those put their trust in Jesus Christ out from this fallen world in order to love them, in order to share his holiness with them. He wants them to be holy and glorified in Christ so that God himself can be glorified. God is passionate to do this for the sake of his holy name. This is the eternal purpose he is passionate to accomplish. We can see part of that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6, where Paul said, the upper part, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." Paul said more of that eternal purpose of God in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30, underneath. "For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So from these few verses, we see a few important things. First, God chose those who believe in Christ even before the foundation of the world in chapter 1, verse 4. And also, in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, those who are predestined by God in time and space, God called them individually, person one by one. God chose them before the foundation of the world, before even time exists. But later, in time and space, God called one by one. For those God called, in chapter 1, verse 5, for those God called, God justified them, adopted them as sons through Christ. Also mentioned in chapter 8, verse 30, down there. Not only this. The two passages talk about the purpose for all this is for these adopted male, female sons to be holy and blameless through conforming to the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, individually and corporately. Through this, they are the church. They are glorifying Christ at the end. And through they, the church, these male and female sons of God, through they, God himself received glory and praises for his wonderful grace, blessing on them, the church. So therefore, from these two sessions of scripture, Paul here told us that how God shared his holiness and glory to his children, for them to share God's holiness and glory, so that our holy, holy, holy God is glorified. May this eternal purpose of God captures our whole life, so that we set our personal life goal and purposes to pursue God's holiness. Once we see that, our whole life will gradually change. A lot of issues troubling us today may gradually be replaced and gone. May the Holy Spirit open our eyes to this, to see that glorious purpose of God. You know, nowadays, men and women are living in their life in very difficult conditions and ways of life. More than 10 years ago, an American Christian writer, Paul Miller, chatted with a drug representative of a major pharmaceutical company, the lady sitting next to him on the plane. A drug representative is someone who has regular contact with prescribing physicians. They prescribe drugs to patients. Paul Miller, this writer, tried to check with the drug representative whether 1/3 of American suburban women take antidepressants. The lady shook her head and saying, "No, you're wrong. At least 2/3. Yes, nowadays there can be many people with depression and anxiety. The reason for that can be physical, like intake of high level of heavy metal unknowingly, which cause chemical imbalance in the brain, which in turn cause depression or anxiety. Or people with certain kinds of personality or disposition are more prone to depression and or anxiety. Or a certain kind of mindset and mentality can be more vulnerable to depression and anxiety. Of course, spiritual issues can cause depression and anxiety as well. Paul Miller, this Christian writer whom I mentioned above, once said, anxiety wants to be God, but lack of God's wisdom, power, and knowledge. A God-like stance without God-like character and ability is a pure tension. Because anxiety itself on its own, it tries to get control. It is unable to relax in the face of chaos, especially in this world of chaos. Once one problem is solved, the next one in line step up. The new one looms so large, we forgot the last deliverance, always being anxious. For people in depression and anxiety, we can learn to pray like a child, as we looked at previously in the past. We pray as a child to his loving and accepting Heavenly Father with no pretense, can be real, be transparent to God, including how we feel or think. We can pray as a child without pretense. And we can pray as a child to his wise and powerful Heavenly Father with our helplessness, trusting our Father's grace to help. Pray as a child to his omnipresent Heavenly Father who is always by our side. We can pray anytime, anywhere, for anything. We can talk to the Father for whatever thing. We become, as men, we become anxious and worrying when we want to be God, occupying ourselves with great things, but we don't have God's ability and character. As we humble ourselves as a little child, we can find rest and peace in our Heavenly Father's hand. Like the child in the picture, the hand is holding with the Father. Actually, everyone has a certain level of depression and anxiety. Let us turn away from worrying about our own plans and our own self and going to watch God's plan working on us. As mentioned above, God is accomplishing, working his holy eternal purpose story through writing his holy story for you and I. Imagine if a movie story without tension or conflict or highs and lows or unpredictability, then it is a boring story. Therefore, it's okay for us to have highs and lows in our lives, have difficulties. But we know that our Heavenly Father is the script writer. His Holy Spirit is the director who teach us to play our role in his holy story for us. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, every child of God is God's workmanship in the making for our glory in his holy glory. Are you willing to trust our God, trust the Heavenly Father, to follow Him, so that He can share His holiness with you. We have just looked at the first two main points. God is holy, and God calls you to share His holiness. Now we come to the third final main point. Respond to God's holiness. Holiness call by learning to pray, "Hallowed be your name." Or just simply, learn to pray, "Hallowed be your name." What is mean by praying, "Hallowed be your name"? Name represents the person. The name here represents God, our Heavenly Father. The verb hallow means to make holy, to consecrate, to sanctify. Therefore, hallow be your name means may your name be made holy. Yes, the name of our God is holy because God Himself is holy. But as we look at before, God is passionate for His name to be honored and glorified. So when we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are praying, "May your name be honored as holy." God's name represents the person of God, His identity, His character, and His reputation. When we pray, "Hallowed be your name," it means that, Heavenly Father, may your person, your identity, your character, your reputation, your very being be honored. More importantly, may you help me to honor your name in my life today. Do you want to learn pray? "Hallowed be your name"? If you do, firstly, let us be real and without pretense before our Heavenly Father. Learn to be transparent before our all-knowing and accepting Father by the blood of Jesus. If you think of anything in your life is dishonoring Him, confess your sin and ask Him to forgive you and repent. In what you did and said, or what you are doing and saying, publicly before others or privately before yourself. Sin by Satan, sin by yourself, sin by God. Are there anything you need to ask God for forgiveness and repent? Anything contradict to His holiness? Repent means take a 180 degrees turn. Completely change your life direction. It doesn't mean that you have the ability to walk steadily in this new change direction. But it does mean that you make a decision to walk in the new direction. A new direction to honor God's holy name in your life. It doesn't mean that you have the confidence in yourself to be able to walk steadily in the new change direction. It does mean that you are willing to put your trust in God, who will help you to walk in this new direction. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. When you repent, you set your mind for actions, and as said in verse 13, it is not saying sorry to God for dishonoring him and bye-bye, and continue to live a life carelessly and self-centeredly, but turn away from your current direction of ignoring God, dishonoring God's holy name, to a new direction, honoring God's holy name. Also, here said, be sober in your mind. If you want to honor God in your deeds and words, your actions or reactions, you need firstly to have a sober mindset and desire in your heart, to be ready to honor God's name in your heart before your outward actions. As in verse 14 and 15 here said, we need to be soberly exercise our choices, not be conformed to the passion of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. God is holy. He wants you. So he wants you to be holy. Do you want him? Do you want to be holy? In order to learn to pray, hallowed be your name. Firstly, let us repent from dishonoring God or ignoring God's holiness, and to set our new life direction to honor his name. Secondly, let us set our mind sober to honor God's name by actively making deliberate choices in our daily life circumstances in honoring his name, but not just floating around, being driven by the flow or trend around us as in the past. Ignoring and dishonoring his holy name. Thirdly, if we want to pray, hallowed be your name, we need to learn to pray, hallowed be your name, with our helplessness. As a child totally dependent on his loving and powerful Father for provision and help. As in verse 13, in order to walk this new honoring God direction, we need to set our hope not on ourselves, but fully on the grace to be brought to us. When the grace comes, it will come at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The grace we experience will reveal Jesus for us to know him more. This grace can come in different forms. The Holy Spirit can give you grace of strength to overcome the temptation or to change the circumstances for us to honor God in a bit easier way. Or he brings other brother and sister to help you. We don't know what form, but the Holy Spirit will know. The Holy Spirit is the best helper and trainer. I remember when there's an incident Yvonne experienced. I shared this in Auburn recently. I remember when Yvonne was young as a teenager, after she believed in the Lord. One time she was on the bus, sitting, you know, in Hong Kong, the bus are two levels. She's sitting on the first, the level one, sitting there just comfortably, and And then he noticed some people on the bus stop, went to the bus. And then one person, when he went to the, try to go up to the second level, he dropped a watch. And then unknowingly, and moved to the second level. And he won't watch that. And in her heart, she thinks, I should tell this man his watch, he lost his watch. But because Yvonne is a very shy girl at the time, very timid, he dared not to go up to, you know, do such a big move to go to tell the gentleman. She just struggled. But she said, I'm a Christian. I should honor God, you know, I should do the right thing. But she dared not to. Struggle. And then she make up her mind, okay, I need to do that. She don't know what to say. So she moved from her seat and go to the stairs and then pick up the watch and then go up to the second level. She want to, and then she raised up the watch and don't know what to say because she's too shy. But actually, no need for her to say. Once she raised up her hand, the gentleman called out, thank you, this is my watch. So Yvonne doesn't need to say anything. I thought about this incident. This incident is the example that when we make our mind to honor God, the Holy Spirit will help us. No matter what form is the help. Even sometimes we experience failure, He can help us. He's the best trainer. In our obedience, in our honoring God, God is our trust. We can set our hope fully on the grace given by the Holy Spirit and focus to obey. God's grace is wonderful. He can provide what we need to obey Him. He can even be able to overrule all things, both good and evil, to honor His own glory through our obedience. Fourthly, to learn to pray, hallowed be your name. Don't be discouraged or despaired by your failure and lowliness, but trust our Heavenly Father with your humility. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, it said, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Our God is a holy God, who is dwelling in high and holy place. However, such a high and glorious God, He is also willing to be with those with a contrite and humble spirit, a repenting, a grief for the sin, a humble spirit. Isaiah here tells us that the lower you are, actually the more closer you can be with God. He is the one who revived the spirit of the lowly and revived the heart of the contrite. To honor God's holy name is the first thing what Jesus taught the disciple to pray for. The glory of God, honoring His name, is the first thing God's children should desire. This is the purpose for which the world was created. The purpose why you are created and I am created. This is why the men are redeemed and transformed to share God's holiness and are glorified, so that God's holy name can be glorified. We come to a conclusion. In this conclusion, I would like to ask you a few questions. You ask yourself, no need to answer me, but ask yourself, did I dishonor God? Or am I dishonoring God's holy name in any ways? If you did, if you are, confess your sins in your heart quietly before God. Confess and repent. Confess and ask for God's forgiveness. Second question. Ask yourself, do I want to walk with my Heavenly Father to share His holiness? What is holiness? Holiness is set apart, the apartness, the separateness. For God, it is His uniqueness. But for us, are we set ourselves apart, separate from the world? Is our life direction similar to the world's people's direction? People works for money, more financial security, more success. People raise up their children in their worldly way. People wants to gain bigger house and bigger house. The life goal of the world, is it you have the similar one? Or you are set apart by God for His purpose. Your whole life goal is not pursuing the thing the people in this world pursue, but you pursue God's holiness. Do you walk with the Heavenly Father? Some people, when they watch the picture, they think about themselves walking with God. Do I want to walk with my Heavenly Father to share His holiness? Or just follow the trend, follow the world, but not separate from the world for God's use, for God's glory? Do I want to pray as hallowed be your name? Do I want to pray hallowed be your name as a child to his father, to the father? Be real without pretense with my helplessness. For God's holiness at any time, in anywhere. Do I want to? I give you 1 minute to reflect on this. If you do, pray to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I do. Help me. I want to set my heart not following the world, but set my heart to pursue your holiness by your grace. And learn to pray. The final question. Do I want to walk with someone I love to encourage him or her to share God's holiness? Like this picture. Someone, they look at the picture, they see that they are the father. They think of their own daughter or son. They want to hold their hands. They want to help them to walk in holiness, pursue the holiness. This question is also for you to reflect and consider. In your mind, in your heart, do you have someone you care, you want to encourage him? Or do you have a family members or a friend, a Christian friend, you want to ask her or him to help you to walk? For example, this week, every day you set your direction, I want to honor God's name, God's holy name. In the beginning of the day, you pray. If there's opportunity, you learn to honor God. If some temptation comes, you ask the Lord to help you. Not to dishonoring God's name. And after one day finish, you go to this person, give accountability. Share with him or her one success, one victory, one grace, or share with her or him one failure. Ask him or her to pray for you. So this exercise is, think about that. This week, every day, now you think about one person. You want him or her to be help you, to be accountable. Help, ask him or her to pray for you. And share with him or her every day. Do this exercise 7 days, 1 week. To pursue God's holiness this week. Or you think about your parents. You can go and ask your parents to help you. To ask him or her to be your, for you to give accountable. Or you can invite a friend to do that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace. We praise you for your holiness. We praise you for the glory. Although our limited mind, we can't fully understand. We thank you for your heart's desire to share with us your holiness. Lord, we pray that, Lord, anyone, if he or she has a desire to pursue your holiness, to learn to pray, hallowed be your name, Lord, we pray that you help him, help her. Lord, you help me so that we, for those people, they are belonged, we are belong to you. We are your children. We can live a life different from the world, and we can know you better, and we can share your holiness. Lord, we commit your words to you. We pray that the Holy Spirit continues to speak in our hearts. So that glory be to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.